In episode one, we were talking about how difficult Howard Kendall had found it going back to manage the club, initially as player manager. You said you felt part of the change was Colin Harvey, his former playing colleague, being appointed from reserve team coach to first team coach.
Absolutely.
I think another part of that, Andy, was actually Howard stopping playing, realising that his legs actually
had gone
and others could do what he had done in his time better at this moment. So Howard stopped playing. He rolled the dice. He had two roles left. He signed Terry Curran and he signed Andy Gray with his last £120,000. 17th in the table when you joined, still in two cups, but teetering. Mm-hmm. Finished that season 7th.
Yep.
Won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So then comes the summer of 84 and a lot of speculation about what Howard was going to do, because clearly once you start to get into a place of success, you can't stand still.
No, you can't.
You got to go forward. So what did he do?
Well, he didn't do much. I mean, a bit like Liverpool always used to do. Liverpool, when they were in their heyday, they would always buy a couple of players, wouldn't they, every summer?
Liverpool's habit was to buy in March.
A March.
Just ahead of April, which was the end of a tax year.
Nice.
So they would buy two.
That's what I'm saying.
And spend the money rather than give it to the tax man.
So obviously, maybe Howard has learned from that. He bought two main players in that summer. One from
Sunderland. Yeah.
I always get Sunderland Stoke mixed up with Paul, with Brace. It was Paul Bracewell. Who I had heard of, but I didn't look and think, oh, wow, he's a terrific player. I had no idea, to be quite honest with you, Keezy. And the other one was one of the famous five from Birmingham City, who, and it raised an eyebrow or two when we heard that Pat Van Den Howell was signing from Birmingham City, and we've kind of gone, wow. And that wasn't strange, because he was going to be taken over from one of the most popular footballers that Everton have had in those years, and that was John Bailey. And Bales was just a character, the Nash, as we call him, because he looked like the Nash and Dennis the Menace. And one of the most popular players, not only with fans, but with us players.
Gordon Lee signed him, and when I asked Gordon what sort of fullback Bales was, he signed him from Blackburn, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
All Gordon said was, well, Evertonians will love him.
And
I went, yeah, why? And he went, because he's... And that was it. You can't really, as I was working on the radio in those days, you can't really
Brilliant.
Explain
Brilliant.
That, can you? But
no.
That's what Bales was.
Yes.
It was a very good description of him. A beautifully gifted footballer, wonderful left foot character. And I should also add, you say part of the famous five, again, for people that don't know what the famous five or who the famous five were, they weren't famous for being, well, they were all good footballers, but they were hooligans.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
at Birmingham.
Yeah.
Oh, they were mad.
And Pat was one
mad.
Of...
Robert Hopkins.
Yeah.
Mick Harford.
Yeah.
The centre-back. Can't remember centre-back's name. Mark Dennis.
Yeah. And, Tony Cotton, TC,
and
the goalkeeper.
TC and Pat. And we signed, and up he came. And Pat was like, totally different from Bale. Couldn't have been the more polar opposite. Intense, Pat. I mean, you looked at him and he'd want to fight you. We've got one that works for us. You look at him and he wants to fight you all the time, isn't he? One of our boys.
Yeah.
You know who I mean.
I do. He's an Evertonian fan.
I know he is. That's, I think that's the strange
Mildly
thing about it.
Mildly psychotic,
yes.
I would say.
So, Pat, you'd just look at Pat and you'd go, all right, Pat. And you'd go away, look at you.
Who are you looking at?
You know, he was a bit like that. He was scary. And he was an athlete. Bales wasn't what you would call an athlete. He was short and kind of, he was fit, but... Pat was 6'2", 6'3", lean, athletic, quick as rats. Kevin Ratcliffe, quick as him. Gary Stevens, lightning on the other side.
And I think one basic rule, that if the ball went past him, the player wasn't going to do the same thing.
No. He was. We ended up, his nickname at the club was Psycho.
Oh, but there you go.
There you go, Psycho Pat, as we used to call him. And he loved it. He absolutely adored that nickname. He felt wanted. You talk to him about it. He says, I, you know, when you gave me a nickname, I just felt that I was part of you guys. Because he said I was joining a huge club, and I was, but I was really nervous about coming in. I said, nervous? You were nervous. Think how we felt about you. But if you're going to have a fight in a football pitch, he'd be right there. Really,
but you've got to earn the right.
Yeah.
Both players coming into a team that had won the FA Cup. Can you remember instances, moments when you thought, yeah, they'll do?
The first time I saw Brace play in the Community Shield. Would it have been Charity Shield still back then?
Yeah, yeah.
Charity Shield, the pre-season cut and razor. I'd got injured in pre-season, and I was the only player who'd won the cup final. It didn't start. And did Bale start? Or did Pat? Can't remember. But Brace came in, and Inchy played up front with Sharpie, I think it was. And the rest was pretty much the same. And we played Liverpool in the Charity Shield. I think it was a draw. I think we shared the Charity Shield 6 months each. And I watched Brace there because, I mean, there's not a better barometer than watch a footballer playing against Liverpool. And I watched Brace, and he was neat and tidy. No flair. Did his job. Wonderful. Got about the football pitch great. Tidy in possession. Good with his passing. Did everything right. And him and Reedy, you could just see that it was going to be a wonderful combination, even that early.
But very similar. Very similar
types. Very similar. But nothing wrong with that, Keezy. If you've got two similar like that, that are doing all this, the stuff, the ugly part of football, but then doing everything else really well, and you've got two on either side of you called Stevens and Sheedy. Wow. Wow. You get it, guys. Give it to them. It was like that. And the thing about that season was, because I was injured, I didn't start. And we played Tottenham opening day, and we're full of anticipation. Shared the Charity Shield, won the FA Cup, come into the new season, couple of new players. The whole place is buzzing. And we play Spurs opening day, hammered. Clive Allen, hat trick, beat us 4-1. We're in the dressing room with this keys. What happened there? You know, what happened there? Spurs blues away. So I'm thinking, okay. So we go to West Brom in the midweek. So same team. We get beat 2-1. Played 2, lost 2. 6 against, 2-4. That wasn't the plan.
No.
That wasn't the plan in pre-season. Nowhere near the plan. Then we go, was it a Friday night? Friday night game? We went to Chelsea. Stamford Bridge. Kevin Richardson played that night. And Howard came into the dressing room and he said, listen, simple as this, we need to get going this season. Whatever happens tonight, we leave with a point. Whatever else happens, we don't leave here without a point. If we get 0-0, we'll take it and get out of here. We get the board ticking over. Went there, Richo nicked a winner for us, 1-0. And that just seemed to get the cart rolled. So I'm now coming, getting fit. I'm thinking, so Howard had a decision to make. Who am I going to play? 3 doesn't go into 2. Heath, Sharp and Gray. So we went to play Newcastle. And he called me and he says, I'm playing you and Inchy. I went, okay. I was rooming with Sharpie. So he told Sharpie. So Sharpie's in the room with me. Throwing things about. Obviously, he's upset. He started the team. Then he decided he's going to play me instead. And he was furious.
Difficult one, that, because obviously you're quite comfortable with the decision, but you know that your roommate is absolutely furious.
And
actually can you say to him?
I couldn't say anything to him. All I could do was try and calm him down, because he was going to put a transfer request in. He said, I'm wanting to move. I'm not staying here. I'm not putting up with this. I said, listen, Sharpie, promise me, come on. Just today, tranquilo, you know, settle down over the weekend. You and I, we'll have a chat on Monday. I said, but don't promise me you'll not do anything until I see you Monday after the game. Just promise me you'll just let it settle over the weekend. You just don't know what's going to happen in football. You just don't. Anyway.
Were you not tempted to put your arm around his shoulders and say, yeah, that's a good idea? You.
No, of course I'm wanting to leave. But here's me, nice guy. Don't do it. You never know what can happen in football. We play Newcastle at St James's. We win 3-2. I get the winner. We're a couple of minutes to go. Unbeknown to me is I was looking after Inchy. I've told you the story.
Well, you need to tell everybody the story, because you know I'm going to ask you.
Well, it was a game, a really good game. Obviously, there was 5 goals in it. We got a winner late on. I got the winner late on. And in the game, Inchy had come up to me about halfway through the first half or something. And he says, Andy, that Glenn Roder keeps whacking me. And I went, all right, and okay, leave it, I'll sort him out. And so about 10, 15 minutes later, he's going back towards his own goal. And I thought, right, this is my chance. I'm going to have him now. So I just let him play the pass. And just before he played the pass, I launched at him. And I took a big swipe at him. And I thought I'd catch him on the back of the calf. And we're hard. But sadly, I got my timing slightly wrong. And just as my foot met his part of his body, his foot had come off the ground and six aluminium studs were now facing my foot. And I smashed my foot into his studs. And I've gone, oh, and I've, the inches go, well done, Andy. I said, well done. I said, my foot's hanging off here. So I played on anyway. And it was only when I finished playing and I went and took my boot off that the pain finally came there. And I had broken my metatarsal, top of my foot. And I was out for 8 weeks. So Sharpie was back in playing number nine. So therein lies, don't do it too quickly because you never know in football what might happen. So that's what I get. I'm there trying to look after my mate and I do myself.
Which in a way kind of sums up what was happening in the dressing room. You mentioned you found a kindred spirit in episode one in Peter Reid. Mm. That incident, that moment, the microcosm of what was happening...
Yeah.
And the spirit that was 100%. Growing within that
100%.
Football club.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. These boys had, they liked winning. The FA Cup was massive for them. They liked it. They liked the feel of it. They wanted more. And with me out the side, obviously I couldn't do it, but watch and admire. And they just went like that, keys to the boys. They just went like that. Confidence.
And suddenly. Part of that was, and I'm sure everybody has seen it, quite certain everybody has seen it, a magnificent Graham Sharp goal in the derby at Anfield.
Unbelievable, yeah. I was back training then. I would think I was on the bench that day. I'm pretty sure I was. I was just one of the first games I was back and fit and being able to sort of join in with the boys. And we went there. We'd played them the year before and that first season I got there and we'd got hammered, I think, about a week before I joined, 3-0 at Anfield. And I always remember Ian St. John in a commentary, the Saint, saying, well, you see, this is it's men against boys. Now, that was like 10 days before I joined. So that's, and then at the end of that season.
But he was right.
Yeah. At the end of that season, that was the other thing. We drew, I think we drew 1-1 with him at Goodison. Or we beat them 1. Alan Harper, I think, scored. And that was another game where we grew up, where they were all over us for very quickly, all over us for the first half. And I went in at half time. And I said, what's happening here? I said, sorry, guys, are you just going to, was it Liverpool? Does that mean we have to stand off and allow them to play the ball and not get stuck? Let's get rattled into a few of these people, please. And went out second half. We did. And then that game, we were flying because we were playing well. And
just before you tell us about that game specifically, you stir my interest. Did Kendall allow senior players to talk at halftime, to actually... almost dominate half-time
like
that?
Of course he did. If people like Peter Reid and me had something to say, then not only at half-time, during the game, it would be said.
That's slightly different. Half-time is when you're all together.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those of us who aren't and haven't been in a dressing room, our thoughts are that, okay, this is the coach's time for 10 minutes, but Howard would hand over.
No, that would be fair, because Howard and Colin would take most of it. Of course they did. But what wouldn't be there? If I had felt something, I saw something, say... if I felt Derek Mountfield was a bit sloppy or playing against the centre forward, I'd go and say to Derek at half-time, listen, Derek, you need to just rattle into this kid. You need to just sort this out. Mm. Be about this. And to Gary Stevens. I used to get to Gary Stevens when he played Mark Walters. Mark was a great player, played for Villa. I used to go over to Gary and say, listen, if in the first 10 minutes you haven't stuck him in the stands, I'm going to come over and stick you in the stand. So that will make your job a lot easier. Honestly, intimidate Mark and you'll have an easy day. If you don't, he'll rip them out of you. That was the kind of things that Reid and I were allowed to do with our experience of having played the game for a long time, these boys not. And then when we went to Goodison that day, the guys were buzzing. They were buzzing. And Sharpie's goal just epitomised...
Anfield,
so Sharpie's goal just epitomised where we were at that particular moment in the season and in our rise up the league.
If I'm not mistaken... I think Ron Atkins' Manchester United had set off like a train that season, hadn't they? I think they'd won their first 10. So Manchester United come to Goodison. Uh-huh. And I've used the expression more than once, hit the wall. I mean, they were destroyed by Everton.
Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing. That was what it was. It was, again, I couldn't get in the team. I'm sitting on the bench frustrated. Because Graham Sharp and Adrian Heath are the best two front men in the country by a distance. By a distance. Scoring goals every week, terrorising defences. You know, people say, why didn't you go and see Howard? I said, what can I go and say? I couldn't go and say to Howard, I should be playing. That was wrong. I shouldn't have been playing. They were just unbelievably good, the pair of them. And on that day, everything. You know, you get the odd performance where everything clicks. I mean, the fact that Kevin Sheedy scored the first goal with a header tells you how unique that performance was, because Sheeds would never have scored with a header. But people like Sheedy, Trevor Stephen, Reedy, Brace, the two front guys, just the movement around the football pitch, Keezy. It was breathtaking. And I know because I watched it. I came on, I think, midway through second half, played the last 20 minutes or something, and it was just a joy to be part of that. It really was. Obviously gutted that I was only coming on as a sub, but to be part of it, it was unbelievably good.
I think that put you top. It certainly took the wind out of their sails. But prior to Christmas, there was a little wobble, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Only one win in five.
Inchy got smashed, injured, ACL against Sheffield Wednesday. Brian Marwood.
Yeah.
Brian... Brian didn't mean to do him. It was just a horrible, clumsy challenge.
Yeah.
He didn't go out, Brian Marwood, just to bust his ACL.
I laugh because Inchy and Peter were very close, weren't they?
Correct.
Peter Reid. And it, all right, if it was an accident, that passed Peter Reid by.
Oh, yeah. No, we look after each other.
Because Reedy, I think, exacted revenge.
He did.
On Marwood and left him in a heap in
Correct.
That very same game, didn't
what we
he?
Did, Keezy.
It was so bad, I think, that Brian, wherever he was playing beyond that, didn't ever want to play against
Reedy.
Didn't
play against Reedy.
Ever.
No, he didn't. He didn't play against Reedy ever again. but that's what I mean about...
But that's, that again, that's another moment that sums that team up.
Yes.
You're not getting away with that.
No chance. No one got away with that. No one got away with that. I mean, the best one was that season we went to QPR and played there. And somebody, I think always told this story. I think Simon Stainrod?
Yes.
Simon Stainrod, I think, the ball's in the
centre forward, tricky.
Yeah. He came in and caught me badly in about the halfway line. And Psycho took exception to that. And the next minute, this is true. The next minute, there's 20 players fighting in the centre circle. That's what it was like. And I looked over, and the only one of ours that wasn't, obviously Neville was in goal, and I looked over at the touchline, and Sheeds is standing talking to Howard. I'm not getting involved in that, Howard. No, I'll let them go.
But you see, this for me, it makes me think about that great Leeds team under Don Revie had exactly the same attitude. Good Liverpool side, you say Liverpool sides, were always the same.
Exactly.
If you did one, you were taking the whole team on.
You're taking the whole team on. That is how it works.
And you've started to muster that kind of feeling amongst yourselves.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of people who would exact vengeance because I would say nice guys. They were nice guys. You know, Gary Stephen didn't need to. Psychopath would. Kevin Ratcliffe would. Derek Mountfield wouldn't. You know, Reedy would. Brace.
Nah, I think he would.
Two wide players? No.
No.
Sharpie, yes. And myself, yeah. Inchy didn't need to. He just got one of us to look after him. That was what Inchy did.
But Inchy, sadly, ACL, you say, now that's it.
Gone.
So now it's Sharp and Gray. He's got 11 goals at this stage of the season.
And he was ready for an England call-up. He was that good. And as I say, Keezy, if he hadn't got injured, then history may have been rewritten. Certainly would have been from my point of view. Maybe not for Everton. Because he was so good. And the thing was... I knew when Inchy got injured, fans were going, that's it. We won't win the league now. I know. I'm very aware of it.
Feeling or you'd heard?
No, feeling. And you kind of hear. You hear anyway, don't you? You're in Merseyside, you hear. And, you know, you just felt, oh, no. As you said, Gray and Sharp, that'll never work. Too similar. But what they didn't know, we were intelligent. But I not only did we have a bad spell, I think what was
one win in five.
Right. I went, I hate to say this, and it's staggering. I went 13 games without a goal.
So you're replacing a guy that scored 11 goals to that point in the season, and you're now labouring with 13 games behind you without scoring.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I'm playing well enough. We're winning games, and that helped enormously. We were winning football matches. I was contributing, but you know the feeling. If you're a centre forward, you've got to produce.
Well, you won six in a row after that Christmas.
Yeah, I know. So, and that's what I'm saying. That helped me enormously, that we won those games. And we kept playing good football. And funny enough, you know, when we were still in European Cup Winners' Cup, we were still in the FA Cup. I think we might have still been in the League Cup. Oh, we might have gone out early. Went out early. I think there was
a reason that you weren't scoring goals, and I'm going to save the question as to why that was for episode 3 in this series. The answer is quite revealing. So join us next time round.